my mouth be full of your praise.
And your glory all day long.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your gracious providence, your servant John the Baptist was born to Elizabeth and Zechariah. Grant to your people the wisdom to see your purpose and the openness to hear your will, that the light of Christ may increase in us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please.
Jesus was a little shepherd, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious gifts. Jesus was a little children of the world.
The first reading is from Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way for me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings in the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 141 responsively. O Lord, I call to you. Come to me quickly. Hear my voice when I cry to you.
But my prayer arises before you as a test.
Set a watch before my mouth, O Lord, and guard the door of my lips.
Let not my heart incline to any evil thing. Let me not be occupied in wickedness with evildoers, nor eat of their sweet foods.
Let the righteous strike me. Their rebukes, as oil upon the head, are not to be refused. Yet my prayers are continually against the deeds of the wicked.
Let their rulers be thrown down upon the stones, that they may hear my words.
Just as one who tills the earth breaks the rock, so let their bones be scattered at the mouth of the grave.
But my eyes are turned to you, Lord God. In you I take refuge. Strip me out of my life.
Guard me from the trap that they have laid for me, and from the snares of evildoers.
Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I alone pass through.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Acts. Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. John, however, left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the officials of the synagogue sent them a message, saying, Brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, give it. So Paul stood up and with a gesture began to speak. You Israelites and others who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our ancestors and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. For about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. After he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. For about 450 years. After that, he gave them judges until the time of the prophet Samuel. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. When he had removed him, he made David their king. In his testimony about him, he said, I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my heart, who will carry out all my wishes. Of this man's posterity, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had already proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his work, he said, What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but he is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of the sandals on his feet. My brothers, you descendants of Abraham's family, and others who fear God, to us the message of this salvation has been sent. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives have this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord.
When I was a small child, none of the cousins on my mother's side lived in our hometown. But since that is the city that my grandparents lived in, the cousins would often come for visits. And what great time we had with the cousins. My mother grew up with nine sisters and one brother. So I have a slew of cousins. Just on my mother's side, I have over 50 first cousins.
Wow.
And Greg's the oldest of that tribe of cousins, the oldest boy, and I'm the oldest girl of that tribe of cousins. And we grew up surrounded by these cousins and this sense of family. John, the baptizer, is the only cousin of Jesus that is mentioned in the Bible. And it is the only, or one of the only, birthdays that is celebrated on the church calendar. Usually all those holy men and women whose names we recall on an annual basis are remembered on the day of their death, the day that they started their eternal life. But John and his cousin Jesus, we celebrate those birthdays. Our reading today brings to mind, tells us the story of the birth and the circumcision and the naming of John. These events occur in the fulfillment of the angel's message to John's father, Zechariah. The angel said to him, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son." And the reading that we just heard from the Gospel of Luke starts with Elizabeth has born a son. The angel also said to Zechariah, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." And that's exactly what happens in this story. At the birth, Elizabeth's cousins and relatives of other and the neighbors all rejoice with her. But the rejoicing isn't at the birth. You notice that in that passage it says that the rejoicing is because of the Lord's great mercy. God's mercy is a theme that continues to rise up in this first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And it's one of the themes that I really want to look at today. The word mercy, as it's used in the Bible, is defined as to show kindness or concern for someone in serious need. To show kindness or concern for someone in serious need. Now, who is in serious need? It might be that because Elizabeth was barren and she and Zechariah were in serious need, that this is mercy. But the real serious need is defined in that song of Zechariah that we sang at our opening hymn. We didn't read that part of the gospel, but we sang it. When Zechariah's voice is restored, he immediately starts to sing God's praise. The church uses those words every day at morning prayer, and we use those words in our opening hymn. Zechariah defines those who are in serious need. He says, the people whom God shows kindness and concern for are the people who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. It's people who are not at peace. It's people who live in fear. It's people who live under the power of sin. It's us. We are the ones who are in need of God's mercy. And without God's mercy, we are in serious trouble. Without God's mercy, this is us, sitting in the shadow of death. This is us, without the waters of baptism, without the words of the prophet or the promise of salvation. This is us, without the nourishment of bread and wine from the altar. But thanks be to God for his gracious mercy, for the gift of that grace that comes to us in our serious need. We are not in darkness because the light has come into the world. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. We are not without peace because the peace of Christ has been given to us. Jesus said, not once, but time and again, my peace I give to you. And thanks be to God that we have been freed from fear and from the power of sin. One of the most common phrases in Scripture is, do not be afraid. We have been freed from our fear by that gift of God's mercy and grace. Thanks be to God for that great gift. We've experienced God's mercy in water and word, in fellowship and in meal, in God's most amazing grace outpoured for us. And we can do nothing less than to share that amazing grace, that gracious mercy with others. Yesterday, an estimated 70,000 people walked down the street in Ocean Beach. It's a lot of people. And St. Peter's Evangelism Committee made sure that at least some of those people heard a good word, saw a smile, received a gift. We shared our love in our presence there. Maybe some of our visitors today or in weeks to come will be here because they first heard about St. Peter's in that street there. We can do nothing less than to share the news of God's most amazing grace with others. The naming is a very important part of our scripture today. You know, the name Zechariah is given to over 30 people in the Bible. Such a popular name wouldn't have been a bad choice for the baby son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Although it's much more common to name a child after the grandfather, I think Zechariah could have been proud to have a junior. The name Zechariah means God has remembered. What an appropriate name for a child who was given to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age. God had remembered them and given them a son. But the name that the angel spoke to Zechariah is not Junior, but name your son John. That's a shortened form for Johanan, and that means God is gracious. What a fitting name for this child. In God's goodness and graciousness, the fulfillment of the promise begins. We know a lot about John in our scriptures. We know that his father, Zechariah, was a priest, that he was going about his priestly duties when an angel told him that he and his barren old wife, Elizabeth, were going to have a baby. We know the strange way that John got his name. We know that John preached in the desert and lived on wild honey and locusts. Those are the stories that we've heard in our Sunday school classes from the time we were children. Those are the stories that we hear year by year in our Advent proclamations. Jesus is quoted as saying, "There is no one ever born who was greater than John the Baptist, and yet even the least in the kingdom of heaven is less than he, is better than he." Okay? Blew that line. Some people even thought that John the Baptist was the Messiah. But he said, "No, I am the pointer. I am the pointer. I am the voice. The voice of one proclaiming in the desert, 'Ready the way of the Lord, prepare the way.'" And that voice of John the Baptist really got him into trouble. We could call him the mouth, and his mouth got him into trouble. One time he called those who were listening to him, those who gathered, who came to listen to him, he called him a brood of vipers. Not a very, you know, hospitable thing to call those who come to listen to you. He denounced all of the religious authority and the political authority. He didn't hold back one bit on his truth-telling. When Herod Antipas married his niece, who had been previously married to his half-brother, talk about a soap opera family, John didn't hesitate to denounce him publicly. Got him thrown into prison, got him lost his head over that. John never hesitated to speak the truth and to speak it boldly. I think we need John today. I think we need at least his example to take to heart for us, that we need to find our voice to speak the truth boldly and plainly. We also need John to hear his call to repentance for our own lives. John spoke so plainly about sharing our goods with the poor. If you have two shirts, one belongs to the poor. He's very clear on sharing our goods with the poor, with those who have less than we do. He spoke very clearly and plainly about justice for all, equality, justice for everyone. He spoke about working to bring about peace, treating one another with kindness, looking for peace in the world, working for peace in the world. John's message of God's gracious mercy, the gift of that mercy, is for us today. And what would that look like? What would the fulfillment of God's gracious mercy look like in our world today, especially for those who are in serious need of mercy? The valleys of poverty would be lifted up. The mountains of privilege brought low. The uneven ground of social injustice would be leveled and made smooth. And all of the rough places and rough times for people would be made even. And the glory of God would be revealed, and all flesh would see it at the same time. Thanks be to God for this amazing grace that invites each of us to share in that vision, to share in that promise, to share in that amazing grace of God's gracious mercy poured out for us today and every day. Amen.